Professor Tochtermann, Ms. Preissel, distinguished guests from the world of academia, business, politics, and administration, I would like to warmly welcome you here in the Federal Ministry for Economic Affairs and Energy. I'm delighted, indeed, that the Leibniz Information Center for Economics is holding its conference celebrating the anniversaries of Wirtschaftsdienst and InterEconomics right here at the Federal Ministry of Economic Affairs and Energy, with a very interesting conference program and a very intense one as well, I think. I've been given, as the new Director General for Economic Policy here in the Ministry, the honorable task of congratulating the Leibniz Center and the editorial teams of Wirtschaftsdienst and InterEconomics on their joint anniversaries on behalf of Federal Minister Gabriel, who is right now on a small sailing boat somewhere around Turkey, where he's taking a very short break from politics here. He will be back tomorrow in Karlsruhe defending CETER in front of the Federal Court of Justice. Wirtschaftsdienst and InterEconomics are both published by the ZBW, the German National Library for Economics, Leibniz Information Center for Economics. As you all know, Wirtschaftsdienst was first issued in 1916, InterEconomics a little later in 1966, so both have a long history as academic journals in economics. The strategic focus of Wirtschaftsdienst and InterEconomics is bringing together the communities of science and policymakers very effectively so. The two journals provide a platform where policymakers can find advice on economic policy that is up to date, based on scientific evidence, and independent. They deal with all economic and social policy issues and trends that policymakers need to be aware of, and they provide a forum for notable representatives from the fields of academia, business, and politics to present and discuss their ideas. The two journals bridge the gap between the world of academia and politics. As you all know, a wide number of German economics ministers have contributed to one of the journals, including, of course, most recently, Minister Gabriel. In his message of greeting written for the anniversary issue of Wirtschaftsdienst, he compared the journal to a mirror reflecting the debate on economic policy in our country, and that is certainly the case. Wirtschaftsdienst and InterEconomics are particularly good at discussing the main challenges that currently exist within our society and that are linked to economic policy. This is why reading Wirtschaftsdienst and InterEconomics has become a must for all researchers and practitioners in this field. And it is not only because I have published myself in Wirtschaftsdienst that I have a personal affection for the journal. I think it really offers up-to-date information, and what is at least for me very important, it gives very different and controversial views on each subject, not only in the Zeitgespräch, so that I really think it is of personal value to read it. I've even when I moved from my one office to the other office, I've only hesitated for a few minutes if I should actually discard, get rid of all the stacks of the Wirtschaftsdienst issues. Then I thought, no, I'm going to keep them in spite of the fact, of course, that you can access them from the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, 3 years ago, Wirtschaftsdienst joined together with the Center for European Economic Research in Mannheim to organize a conference on the future of Europe. At the time, the overriding concern was containing the euro crisis. And I believe even though we have achieved important progress in Europe over the last 3 years, there's still quite a lot to do. There are still 21 million unemployed people within the whole European Union with its 28 member states. And unfortunately, there are still more challenges that we need to live up to today. Public debt remains too high in a wide number of countries. Persistent divergences in competitiveness among the euro area countries remain a yet unresolved issue. Brexit, of course, has created an unexpected new challenge. The envisaged transatlantic agreements are turning into a crucial test for our common trade policy. And of course, you are all aware that in the Gemeinschaftsdiagnose, the institutes warned that growing protectionism is a real threat for the economy and open societies. Of course, the refugee crisis as well shows the fragility of the European community based upon the principle of solidarity. And, of course, in many countries, unemployment is much too high. But most importantly, I think we need to find a solution, we need to find an application of the economic policy regime in the European Union and the Eurozone, actually, that caters for the big heterogeneity of the Union. We need to apply the Stability and Growth Pact in a way that lives up to this challenge. And I think we need to find challenges, we need to find a way to do that, even though I was discussing with Gustav Horn the other day. Of course, at this moment in time, it is not easy to even discuss like projects that are a little bit more ambitious, because there is big fear that everything that is a bit more ambitious cannot be implemented, even especially if it has to do with treaty changes. So I think there was some truth to what the President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, said a year ago. Our European Union is not in a good state. There is not enough Europe in this Union, and there is not enough Union in this Union. Maybe you are familiar with Vincent Bennett's short story entitled The Devil and Daniel Webster. Basically, there was the content of the story, the Faustian tale about a farmer in New Hampshire selling his soul to the devil. And eventually, yeah, of course, he's not happy about this decision. He asks Daniel Webster, like an attorney and a politician, to defend him. Eventually, even Daniel Webster manages successfully to defend him. But at the end, when the envoy of the devil leaves, he tells Webster's very dark future out of his palm. And the only thing Webster asks is, will the Union prevail? And now, today, the tale goes, anyone passing by the grave of Daniel Webster would hear his voice rise above and ask the passerby, neighbor, how stands the Union? And the answer wasn't, the Union stands as she... And if the answer wasn't, the Union stands as she stood, rock-bottomed and copper-stathed, one and indivisible, he was liable to rear right out of the ground. Unlike the United States of America, the European Union does not have a Daniel Webster to protect it. Well, and if you look at the United States of America in this moment in time, maybe even the influence of Daniel Webster has waned a little bit. However, of course, within the European Union, the main question is how we can strike the right balance between austerity and policies that strengthen investments in our future. Of course, we have this debate on the European level with the decision to increase the EFSI, with the decision to invest as well on the European level. But we have undertaken such a policy as well here within Germany. We have been implementing many of the conclusions of the Fratscher Commission in order to step up investments here in Germany. We are spending like a record amount of money in the federal budget on investments, and we are trying to put in place the institutions actually to enhance the capabilities, especially of the local level, to invest and to perform projects. This is very important. Many of you will have read the article in the Spiegel this weekend, and there we are actively trying to find a solution to help the local level and help public administration in Germany to step up its capabilities to invest. Those questions dealing with investments, dealing with the European level, are only certain questions that will be dealt with today in this conference, this very intense conference program. I think it basically covers almost all of the really relevant fields of economic policy we are thinking about. This conference certainly is an opportunity to express and discuss ideas that may help master the tremendous challenges that we are currently facing. Of course, as already said, it's all the questions that deal with Europe. How can the old continent of Europe revive itself? How can it enter a new phase of economic growth? How can we strengthen investment in the future in both the public and the private sector? How can we achieve more social equality and thus a sustainable and stable economic and social system in Europe? And very importantly so, of course, how does affect digitalization our societies and our economies? This is, I think, one of the most important questions, with very low productivity in spite of all the technological progress. Why do we still only have productivity of approximately 1% in this age of the second machine age? I think to all those issues, you can find remarkable contributions in both the journals in the recent past. You can see them out there. And, of course, I think we will have stimulating discussions and, I hope, many answers in today's many panels and lectures. I can assure you, at least, that here we in the Ministry, we are following these discussions and those contributions very closely, and we will take up everything in our policy, well, everything that is feasible to be implemented in our policy, because this is what we call evidence-based economic policy. And so we really depend on those insights, we depend on those debates, and of course on the results to all these very important and very relevant questions you are discussing today. So thank you very much for being here, and I wish you a very productive and a very good day. Goodbye.